This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to the movie podcast review of Challengers. My name is Shabazz, and joining alongside me here on my court, this is a doubles match, but we're facing one person. It's like a weird doubles versus one single set here. This is Daniel. Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, Wii Sports has prepared me for this review.
I'm glad.
And I feel ready to, you know, become a pro today.
You know what? Mario Tennis has been all I've been playing lately because of Challengers.
The most realistic of tennises out there.
That's the only way I know tennis.
Yeah.
And you and I are facing against Anthony. Anthony, how are you doing?
I am going to beat you every single time.
No, man.
It's not even a challenge. It's a win for
me. Wow. That confident.
Oh, no. Dude, two of us against you? What, you got two rackets in your hands?
Just one. And that's all I need.
Okay. Damn. We like it, though.
And no net.
No net either.
One racket, no net.
He's ready to go.
No ball.
Wow.
No ball. Just wait, hold on.
Staring
it's a
at
mental
you.
Game
with a gun.
Final boss, gun. Anthony, 100%. But listen, I think tennis is such a game that I think we don't appreciate the amount of just like the mental game that's part of it, right? Because like tennis always feels like so individualistic because you're like it's you against one other person, but no, it's all up here, man. It's all up here.
It's like chess.
Yeah.
And a sport that has so many grunts and moans, you understand why it's one of the sexiest sports as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of grunts and moans in this movie, especially. So excited to talk about definitely. All of those.
For a game that's so prestigious, but also can be very chaotic. That's how I look at it. Because it could be a lot of grunting, a lot of yelling, a lot of like throwing the racket.
Sweating,
you're breaking your racket on the floor because you couldn't get a certain point. So, and you're arguing with the ref or whatever they're called on the big chairs. But yeah, it's a chaotic sport, but it could also be, and it's prestigious at the same time.
It feels so like all intact and very like pristine and proper and, you know, full of etiquette until the wheels start coming off. And then you really start to see like the intense side of what the sport could be. It's so fun to watch. It's one of those sports that like, I don't actively look for tennis matches on TV, but it's one of those things like when you're flipping through the channel and you see it and you're like, oh, I'm going to watch this. Like, what's going on here? Like, it's so fun. It's so fascinating to watch. It's mesmerizing.
No, I was just saying there's like a period in the 90s and the 2000s where everyone was watching tennis. Like we were watching like Roger Federer or like the Williams sisters, or I can't even think of anybody else.
Andre Agassi.
Yeah.
Andre Agassi. Definitely.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you guys have a favorite tennis player, or have you played tennis in your life? Like, I grew up with tennis. Tennis was a big part of my childhood, and watching tennis, playing tennis, even video game tennis, like Topspin or Pete Sampras on the Sega. That was just like, those are moments of my life that I will always remember. Like tennis is, it's almost up there with hockey for me. And I've been slowly getting back into it.
My family, we were into like the sissy version of tennis, which I think is called badminton.
Oh,
we played
Ben.
A
Don't
lot.
Don't insult the badminton. Don't get the badminton community on us, man.
I want their comments. No, man, I'm all for badminton. I love badminton. We played a lot of badminton.
Now he's backpedaling.
Well, I still said we played a lot of it. It is the sissy version because you hit it, you're like, and like 5 minutes later, the shuttlecock just lands. Yeah. Whereas tennis is like,
it's true. It's true.
So very different. So yeah, I mean, tennis, I remember like, there was a period when my mom and I lived in an apartment building that had a tennis court. And one summer we dedicated to try to like play as much tennis as we could. And we played like every week, 2 or 3 days in a row. I was like maybe like 12 years old. And like, so we'd go out there with our rackets and just go at it. And it was a really fun time. So that's like my fondest memories of tennis.
Yeah. I loved playing tennis growing up. I lived right down the street from a tennis court. So we're always there. And like, even in high school, a lot of my friends were on the tennis team. So I would just help rally with them and get them warmed up and stuff like that. But we also lived in a time too, growing up, I think through the 90s and 2000s, where a lot of sports were making waves in different ways, right? So we'd had a lot of big tennis stars that were growing the sport. So a lot of people who, you know, what used to be seen as more of like the country club type sport was like making waves in, you know, in pop culture. And then we were starting to get a lot of movies around it, a lot of games. You also grew up in that era where we're not just getting a tennis simulator, we're getting Mario Tennis, we're getting the crazy over the top sports version of whatever tennis is, right? So it was cool seeing it grow as a sport that way. And I feel like just in the 90s and the early 2000s, everything had that attitude and that feel to it, right? So like when I think of marketing and magazine covers of that time, like you're thinking of the Williams sisters, you're thinking of all of the, like, you're thinking of those like big iconic names. But it's a great sport. I just wish that we lived in a climate that we could play it, you know 12 months out of the year instead of maybe, you know, 3 or 4 if we're lucky.
You could do indoor courts. We have indoor courts in Toronto.
Yeah, but I mean, like
Thornhill,
outdoors is nice too, right?
Tennis feels like an outdoor sport, yeah. Right? That's why it just feels like.
Yeah,
it
does, but 100%. Yeah. Like, we do have indoor courts in here in Canada.
Does have indoor courts.
Do you guys remember Monica Seles?
No.
And this might be way before your time, but Monica Seles was like this huge sensational star in the 90s, and in 1993, she was stabbed on court during a match with Steffi Graf.
Jeez.
The guy who stabbed her was like this huge Steffi Graf fan, and he didn't want Monica Seles to win. And he literally came on the court and stabbed her in the shoulder, which was like this traumatic time period, because also 93 was like the OJ Simpson case.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, we look at our time as, you know, we live in a chaotic time, but man, there are times that we just forget the things that have happened in the past, like a tennis player or a tennis star getting stabbed on the court. Literally, this guy was going to kill her.
Yeah.
He grabbed her. He's like,
and that's not too far removed shoulder. Either from like Tonya Harding and things like that, of like that era of.
No.
Wow.
I was just thinking, where's the movie on this?
Yeah, that's terrifying. Oh my gosh. So,
the amazing part is 2 years after, she comes back and she wins like a bunch of, like, she wins, I think, the French Open or amazing. Australian Open. But she has like this huge come ups again. She got her time period or her time with, you know, winning championships. But it's like, it's so weird that at one point in time, we had events like this in tennis where people were running off and stabbing people on the court.
It's crazy to think like just the access people have. And I feel like, you know, we're in an era now too with security and so many layers. And it's like, really, when you look at like the post 9/11 worlds of just like how security has changed in places where it's like, no, you don't have just access to people like that now. But yeah, that's wild that could have happened in a professional match. And that just happened. You know what I mean?
That's nuts. Like, I can't imagine watching that on live TV and just being like, what's going on?
Yeah. Jesus.
Wow. Wow. Well, hard pivot here.
Yeah, seriously.
We are talking about Luca Guadagnino's Challengers, which stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. I'm so excited to talk about this movie. This is a movie that, you know, the commercials got it all right, in my opinion. The posters got it all right. Even the IMAX poster, which just gave me that 2000s tennis vibe that we've been talking about. Like, tennis fashion is one of those things that I think is so a staple of the sport as well. It's not just like, you know, everyone wears their polos and their shorts, and like Uniqlo is one of the biggest things that I was sponsoring tennis matches. But I definitely want to talk about this movie. Of course, this will be releasing exclusively in theaters April 26th by Warner Brothers Pictures here in Canada. So really, really excited to talk about it. I want to kick it over to Anthony for the first reaction.
That's me serving.
I should have served it to you, I guess.
You should have served it up to him.
Serve it to me.
All right, hold on.
Oh my god.
I've been playing a lot of Mario Tennis. Can you tell?
Yeah, it's a little intense, but I like it.
Tennis.
I really like Challengers. Challengers is a fresh and different look at the, I don't want to call it a rom-com, but it's like there's comedy in it. There's a romantic comedy part to it, but there's also a drama part to it. But it's just a reinvention of just the relationship and what we see on screen when it comes to love interests and just going through, you know, a love triangle in this case. But even though the story is not this huge groundbreaking story, it's cool, it's collected, and it's really risky. I think there are moments in this film where I was challenged as a viewer, and I'm a huge fan of Luca Guadagnino. I think the type of filmmaking he has and he makes, it's so different. It has like a real sense of vision behind it. There's like this nostalgia part of it. There is this aura that he knows how to like really get his best performers and performances out of these people. Like, they're just fantastic. And when I watch his stories and his movies, there's like a visual look to them that's very unique, very different. Because was it last year or 2 years ago, Bones and All, and it was such a unique look at, you know, vampires or people eating people or cannibals, and it was just funny. And he did a fantastic job, even though it wasn't critically acclaimed. I think his look and how he created that story was so different. But when it comes to Challengers, it has all the ingredients for a compelling romantic drama. It's grounded, it's approachable, it has, you know, it's not that fairy tale like story, and using backdrops of tennis as like a binding between this love triangle that's toxic works, because it acts as a reflection of what the characters are going through. Tennis, like I said, could be prestigious, but it also can be chaotic, and I think that juxtaposition works well with the story that he's trying to tell in this movie. Great performances by all actors. I think for me, the two standouts being Josh O'Connor, because he has so many faces in this movie, and he's knows how to get under your skin. He knows how to like really irk you, and he has like this charm to him as well that I enjoyed his character, even though he is kind of like a villain. There were parts of me where I understood where he was coming from. And then Zendaya, who is this very powerful female who also has a self-loathing to her that's unique. And you have these complex characteristics with these characters that just work well in this triangle. I think the film score by Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor adds another layer of emotion. Depth, which works so well with what we are seeing on screen. It's like, it's not your typical orchestral soundtrack. It's dance and house, but it also has this 90s vibe, but it works well with the sequences that you're getting in this movie, especially right off the top. You're just thrown into this score that you feel energetic. You feel like, well, we're going into a very hyped match between two characters. Cinematography is fantastic. I think it captures intensity and the beauty of the sport with like slow motion sequences, a lot of sweating. There's a lot of drip, as I call it, and there's a lot of it in this movie.
Not just fashion, just actual dripping. From people.
You'll see it within faces, a couple of minutes of watching this film. You'll see a sequence where it's just drip, drip, drip. But it's captured on film too. Like this movie shot on film, so you know it has like, it's, you know, this movie's already going to be good. And I'm not saying because it's film, but it's just when you have film in the right hands, it works well, and how Luka was able to capture that, it just fantastic. And there are moments in this movie where you will feel like you're in a tennis match. There is there's moments of rallying or just players hitting the ball, and you can feel the ball like just whip past your face. It's almost like the ball is hitting the lens, and he was able to capture tennis in such a real fashion that I haven't seen on screen. You know, like, you haven't seen this type of expertise as well as detail in a tennis match on a big screen. A lot of it is more of like the story that kind of has the tennis behind it. This has a great blend of both, and you know, it's a fantastic film. Like, I cannot say anything wrong with it. I guess maybe the story could be a little bit long at times, but I enjoyed like the second half of this movie more than the first half. Once you know where it's leading to and what happens, it just starts to build up and you're like, how is this going to end? And it ends really, really well.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I think you touched on a lot of the points that I'm sure Daniel and I have very similar opinions on. Speaking of the score, it's like you're walking into a 2000s like clothing store, like in the best way possible. Like, if I was new 2000s and I walked into H&M, that's what's blasting on the sound system, and it hits so hard. And it's one of the main reasons alone to go watch this in theaters, because of how damn good the sound, you know, design is, but also just the score itself. There's so many amazing things about this movie. I love that the story is told almost like a tennis set. You know, you're going back and forth within the different stories. You're going back in time, and everything still ends up lining up together. Luca has this way of making a movie feel like film in a way where it's actually shot on film, but I don't think this movie is shot on film.
It actually is shot on film.
There you go. Cause it looks damn good. And it just has that feel, that 2000s feel. And I think that's what's so really awesome about this movie. Daniel, please give us your first reaction to Challengers.
I think, yeah, I want to start right at the score, just cause that's kind of where we all three of us were last leading off of. And again, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who just worked with Luca as well on Bones and All, they again just deliver an iconic score. And I'm going to throw something out there. I think this is their best score since The Social Network,
hands down,
where this is something that I have been listening to it nonstop. And we are at CinemaCon. It came out like the week before. Like, the score has been out for like 2 weeks now before this movie's opened. And you know, it's mixed by Boys Noise, so it's just like, it's an absolutely incredible to listen to. It just goes right through one, like, it just feels like one long track, this film, just the way the soundtrack is mixed. But it's so good because it feels like a heartbeat, like it is pulse pounding. And I think when you're thinking of the intensity of tennis and you really want to show something that feels like you are constantly going back and forth, you feel the intensity right away. These two just nailed it when it comes to the score for this film. It is absolutely incredible. And Shay, you mentioned it already. Like, when you're thinking about how the story is told, this is not a linear story. This is a story that is bouncing around like crazy. And sometimes it could be a little hard to follow when you're having a flashback, but you're having reactions in the present. So sometimes in the film, that's something that we were talking about after we're watching. We're like, okay, no, this was like, you'll get it 100%. You'll get it, but you're going to have to be really paying attention, because there are moments that happen really quickly that you're like, okay, what part of history is this right now? And you're also trying to keep track of what's happening after, what's happening before. So there's a lot to consider. But something I love so much about Luca Guadagnino is how he is just so, he's one of the best right now when it comes to working with rising talent and managing his young stars. You look at Bones and All, obviously you look at Call Me By Your Name, and you know, Challengers is no exception to this. You have a young cast who all in their own regards are all having great careers. Obviously Josh O'Connor with The Crown, everything he's doing, Zendaya speaks for herself, and Mike Weiss, who last I saw and we saw in West Side Story, and now he's going to be appearing in so many films. But they are such an incredible trio in this, and it's almost like there's a game within this movie that you're watching, because you're trying to see like, okay, out of these three, who is the one I should be rooting for? And this movie does such an incredible job of just make you be like, oh, you know what? I'm going for Josh right now, or I'm going for Mike right now. Like, actually, no, Zendaya, she's the one. It's her. We should be rooting for her. And the film does such a good way of just showing you everyone's perspective and seeing that, yeah, these people are all very selfish. They all have their own motives, but you're getting the reasoning behind all of that. And I think that was so fun with watching a film like this. And then you get to the actual tennis itself, because so much of this film is happening off the court. It's the drama all around it. But like we all said, the shots and the game itself of tennis is so cool to see that. And there's so many shots where it goes from the perspective of the ball and you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then you see the sequence of it playing out, and it does some crazy camera movement where you're going from the ball to the racket, and then it's pulling out to the rest of the court. And you're just like, who comes up with a shot like this? But it works so well. And you feel the franticness, you feel the energy throughout all of that. And again, this film just really comes down to the incredible performances of this trio. And I think Zendaya delivers her best role. This is the best role that she's had in a film. Obviously Dune 2 is up there because she gets so much more to do, but I think with her really leading this film, she's so incredible in this movie. And yeah, I think my biggest critique of this film, other than it being a longer movie or feeling a little bit of a longer movie because you're jumping around so much, is that sometimes for us, or for me talking now, I definitely felt like, okay, the perspectives and the jumping back and forth was a little hard to follow. And especially because the text on screen sometimes could also be like, here's white text on like a white sky. So you're like, what does that say? Like it was a little just hard to see sometimes.
It's easy to miss.
Easy to miss, right? Because you're so immersed in the world, you're not thinking about looking for text on screen. But other than that, I think this is like one of Luca's best films. This is a movie that I can't wait to watch again, just because it's so just damn kinetic the way it feels. Like it just feels like it's just building upon each other the whole time. And yeah, like it's just fun having this really does feel like a movie that we would have had, you know, people would have had posters for it growing up. Like I almost think of it like in the realms of like Talented Mr. Ripley or things like that, where it's like this would have been people's personality, this movie growing up. Like, yeah, Challengers is one of my favorite movies. So I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, because it's great.
Definitely.
It's really, really is such a damn good movie.
Yeah. You know what? When it comes to Luca, I'm very, very excited to see what he does next, because Challengers is a very sexy movie and he's able to make movies feel very sexy despite the genre or despite what it's trying to be. Because even if you look at Bones and All, it's a very intimate film. Then you go back to Call Me By Your Name, obviously another intimate film. He has this trajectory that I feel like Denis Villeneuve also had, very similar in their directing styles as well. They know how to get the best out of their actors and the best out of their script. And I'm just like you guys, I'm very excited to watch it again. Anthony, I also want to highlight Josh O'Connor as well, because I loved his character. You know, Patrick Zweig was so interesting and is a character that I feel like I also could have seen play, you know, professional tennis. And like, that was his personality. You'd see in the interviews and
just get under your skin, you know, like he has that personality, right?
And it's not even like he rubbed me the wrong way, because he is exactly who he wants to be and portray. There's no sugarcoating it. And I love the character like that. Zendaya, absolutely phenomenal. And of course, Mike Feist also, I think, is great. I don't think he gets a lot to do, Mike, in this movie compared to Josh and Zendaya, but still very, very phenomenal role. But Zendaya is just killing it. Like, I have no idea whether I like her in this movie or whether I'm supposed to hate her at certain scenes. It's just a brilliant balance of who do you root for. And at the end of the day, I don't think it really matters, because you're seeing these phenomenal stories kind of collide together. And you're just cheering on the sport. Like, I felt like I was watching this movie just like I was watching a real tennis game, just cheering it. Not sure who I'm cheering for, but I feel like that's with most tennis games half the time as well.
It's full of drama, man. Like this film is drama. And I think that's what's so fun about watching it too, because you're like, okay, you know, these two characters are together. This one's kind of coming into the picture. Then you're seeing the history and how all of them, like, if you love drama and love triangles, like, this is the movie for you, because there's a lot of that in this movie. And then you wrap that up with a crazy intense score and just just a wild story in general. Like when you're seeing, I mean, the crux of this film is that like we're building up to just a tennis match, but it's everything that happens in between that and before that that really just feels like, oh my God, like I'm at the edge of my seat over like a relationship right now, which is just so fun to watch. And I think it's rare that directors can do that. And I love that you made the comparison of Luca to Denis, because I definitely see that. Like Luca feels like one of those directors that if he wanted to, if his next film was going to be a larger, more blockbuster-esque film, like I could 100% see him do that, because the work that he does with characters is so strong. And I think he'd bring like an incredible talent of talent with him to that film as well.
I would love to see him in a different film. I feel like even though this is different, it's very Luca.
Yeah.
Like it's still this love story. He's been telling a love story since Call Me By Your Name and Bones and all. And like as he continues, so I would love to see him in a different realm and what he would do with an action drama or a thriller, because this is very much a thrilling movie. So there's a thriller aspect to it, because you are questioning what is going to happen next. How is this going to end? Who's going to end up with who? And then you start creating like storylines in your head, like who is there more to,
right?
Certain characters in this movie where you think might lead to
did this happen, like that's right. Something that we were excited about watching it again, Anthony, right? We're like, I want to think back and go back to that moment now and be like, did they know, did this happen? No. Something that I loved though, Anthony, that you called out, obviously, because I think you would be the one to call out the shoes, we got to call out the shoes not matching the years they're out of, right? Yeah. Come on, Luca.
Yeah, there's certain the shoes are not authentic to the actual time period, and maybe they are. I just doubt it, because they're using certain Adidas Ultra Boosts that
come from in the comments. Come for him in the comments, folks.
2003.
Let us know. Maybe these tennis stars got like another early prototype shoes. The prototype shoes.
Yeah.
But another thing that we didn't mention, this takes over a 13-year. Mm-hmm. period, right? It goes from 2006 to 2019. So there's a lot of years that kind of happen, and we're witnessing the story kind of grow and evolve. So I also like that, even though at times it could be confusing with the title cards or where it takes place.
Because we're also starting with that main match, right? We're starting with that challengers match, and then everything just kind of keeps going back and forth that you're like, oh, this makes sense now.
It's crazy how deep it goes.
Yeah. And it gets really deep. There's a lot of confusion with these characters and the couples, and who is who and who is with who. And you start to question, like, I think a lot of people might say that this story is woke or has like certain, you know, storylines that just don't make sense, and you're trying to push an error. There is a confusion to this whole story that I think Luca does a really good job of orchestrating, because there are parts where you're like, I think these two are better off together.
I definitely think so, right? And I know what you mean by that, but like it's funny seeing the relationships between all of these people, and then how much you get to know them by going backwards. And again, it's such a unique way of storytelling that a lot of this film is going backwards. It's like, I feel like we're talking about a Christopher Nolan movie right now, but a lot of this film is going backwards. It's going further and further back to get to know what's happening now. And I think it's just so cool how it's able to do that, tell it coherently, and to also tell a really friggin' cool tennis story as well too, because man, more sports movies. I feel like we don't get as many sports films anymore. We'll get like sports are part of it, but it's not like the crux of the film, where Challengers feels like so much of this movie is on a tennis court, and it's so fun to see that. I love that we get to see that. We don't get as many movies taking place
because the last in the sport tennis about, film we got was like King Richard,
which, you know, we'll get, but it really isn't like
it isn't about the sport,
not as much about them, right? It's not about, you know, the sisters as much. It's more about their dad, and which I get, but the moments we did get of tennis in that film also felt very just cool. Mundane and just like, okay, this one is like tennis, I want to play tennis, like that.
A lot of the time I was hoping, or I was just thinking, like, I want just a tennis movie. I don't want no complicated love triangle. I just, whatever Luka did with just the action sequences within the sport and the score just makes you want to have a movie dedicated to the sport and nothing that surrounds it. Because tennis, even though it's, you know, part of this movie, it's not the forefront. Right. It's not the main character of this movie, even though it plays a big part of it. You kind of want a movie that takes place in this world that we just follow matches. And that's it. That's all I want to see. I just want to follow the match. Film. I want to go through a championship.
We'll watch it 100%.
His next movie has Daniel Craig in it, so I'm excited for that. That's always a good thing.
I wonder what it's going to be about.
It's set in the 1940s, Mexico City. It follows Daniel Craig's character, who has fled from a drug bust in New Orleans and is now in Mexico City. He wanders around the city's clubs and becomes infatuated with drug user Allerton, a discharged American Navy serviceman. The title is based on the book called Queer. So yeah, it looks like that's what his next thing is. He finished production in June of last year. So I'm sure
this guy just pumps out movies, eh? Like, I'm sure Luca is just ready to go with movies. I love it.
I'm here for it. Yeah. So yeah, excited for that. Excited to see what he does next. Man, is it safe to say we can talk about our final recommendations now, or did you guys have anything else that you want to serve up?
No. I think we're good to go.
Love it. Daniel, please kick us off with your final recommendation for Challengers.
I love Challengers. It's a great time at the movies. It's just one of those movies that I will go back at the end of this year and look at all the movies that we watch, and I think this is going to be a lock for my top 10. It is such a great time. You have such great performances in this, and I love that it took a sport that I liked and it made it a sport that I loved and wanted to learn more about and follow. I mean, very similar to how we left when we, you know, came out of Gran Turismo, right? Where we're just like, oh, I want to learn more about racing. I want to get more involved in this world and play Mario Tennis and whatever tennis games are out right now. Just because, like, you just really fall in love with the world and these characters. And even though it feels a little long at some points and it gets a little confusing into about what storyline, you're just happy to be in this world. I say watch it. It's a damn good time at the movies, and you're gonna have a great time with it.
Yeah, I will echo that exact statement. I love that you brought up Gran Turismo, because exactly, movies that get you excited about their subject matter, you know, are already huge wins in my book. And obviously I have to say that Challengers is a must watch. You have to go watch it. It is fantastic. It is just the right kind of film for right amount of time. And I agree. I think that at the end of the year, I'll be looking at my top 10 list and probably seen this movie on there, and I will not be surprised at all. It is a movie that I also feel on repeat watches gets better, because you just pick up so much more information. Anthony, please take us home. Give us the final serve.
Yeah, you have a winning combination of gripping storytelling, compelling performances, beautiful imagery, and fantastic score, making it the must-see movie this spring. I can't say summer because, you know, it's springtime, but the must-see movie this spring, and in my eyes, a modern classic.
Love that. Of course, we're the Movie Podcast, and you can follow us every single place at the Movie Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, or X, sorry, TikTok, wherever we are, you can find us pretty much. Please join our Discord as well. Let us know if you watch Challengers, if you watch tennis, if you play tennis, if you've been in a love triangle, whatever it is, let us know by joining our Discord. That's where we're having all these conversations. We've just gotten back from CinemaCon, so we're finally kind of settling in. We're shedding our tans. My tan is now starting to come off, and we're going to have more episodes talking about how CinemaCon went for us. But we also did drop a CinemaCon episode, so do go ahead and check that out. Kind of hear us in the hotel room, fresh out of that, you know, CinemaCon press conference, talking about all the great stuff. So go ahead and check that out. Of course, that was This Time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next time.